Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we'll get to our text in just a few moments. Oftentimes when we hear the expression eternal life, we automatically begin to think of heaven. We pull up on the screens of our mind the things that are going to happen when we leave this earth, after we die. The going to be in the presence of the Lord, the eternal glory, the no more pain, no more darkness, no more crying, no more death, all of these things. And all of those things are a part of eternal life. That's very true. But there's so much more. The thing that we fail to understand often is that eternal life begins right now, right here. Eternal life begins, it starts when a person, an individual, puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment that we call upon Jesus to be our Savior, we don't have to wait for eternal life. Our eternal life begins at that moment. It doesn't just something that lies ahead when we leave this world after we're dead, but it's something that starts right now. Now, granted, there are many things that lie ahead when we leave this world. If this old body wears out and it finally quits, we're gonna leave this world, and there's going to be many changes that are going to happen right then. Changes for the better. We're going to be taken into a new realm. We're going to be taken into the place called heaven, the abode of God, and the things of this world are no longer going to be impeding us. We'll no longer have any kind of spiritual limitations. We're going to be introduced to a blissful existence in eternity. But that doesn't mean that we're suddenly receiving eternal life. Because we, as I said, receive eternal life the moment we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, verse 3 says this: "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." That's the definition right there of eternal life. The moment we know God, and of course we know the only way we're going to know God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me." And so that's Jesus' whole purpose, was coming to this world when He came the first time, was to provide for you and I an opportunity and a way to know God, and knowing God is having eternal life. Friends, our problem, we got a sin problem. Well, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, a little further through the message. But Jesus was here to take care of the sin problem that was keeping us from having eternal life with God, as opposed to let me back up here. I've lost my notes here, and I'm scrambling here to get straight here. He provided for you and I a way for those sins to be forgiven, that we could have eternal life with God as opposed to having eternity without God. Here's what we have to understand, and I'll try to get it more simple where I can understand it. I got to understand it before I make y'all understand it, don't I? Here's what we have to understand. Every single person, everybody within the sound of my voice, every person outside the walls of this church, every person that ever crosses the face of this earth is an eternal being. We're not just here just for a space of time, then we die and then we cease to exist. We're eternal beings. And so if we don't know Christ as we travel the paths of this earth, then we are without God. And then we're going to die someday, and we're going to go into the eternal realm where we're going to continue to be without God. The Bible calls that eternal realm hell. It's a place. Hell lasts forever just like heaven does. You see, there's no end to hell just like there's no end to heaven in our existence there. So if hell has no end and heaven has no end, our choice of which place we go, where we end up in eternity, has to be made right now. Now, the ideal of going into forever without God ought to be enough to sober us up and make us think a little bit. But then you add to that equation the eternal torment that the Bible describes, that's a part of it, the nut ought to terrify any individual that has not yet come to know God, because to not know God is to have a very, very grim future. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way, because eternal life is available. Now, I put this, Nita gave me this, and I'll probably keep it for the rest of my life. This is the cross. The cross represents everything that Jesus did for you and I, okay? And so this will be, this is our, what do they call it? Not a prop. This is our, this represents, if you will, eternal life for you and I through the remainder of this message. It sets right there, and we'll get back to it in just a moment. Now, we've turned in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want you to see that eternal life is available for every single individual. So it doesn't have to be that you and I continue to be without God or go into eternity about God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want you to notice verse 19. He says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. In other words, making preparation for eternity, what's down the road, heaven, and what's down the road. Watch this. That they may lay hold of eternal life. What does it mean to lay hold of something? It means to grab it. It means to make it our own or take it unto ourselves. You see, I have grabbed a hold of eternal life. I brought it and made it become mine. You see, Jesus took care of everything that we need to have eternal life when he came to this earth the first round. The death, sacrificially shedding the blood for our sins, the burial, the resurrection, securing for you and I, not just for himself, but for you and I, eternal life. That made eternal life become available to you and I. It's just up to us now to lay hold of it, to make it become ours. Now, I'm going to do something this morning that I don't do often enough. I'm going to take us down Romans Road. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn in your Bibles over to the book of Romans. We'll start in verse 3 here in just a few moments. I'm going to take us down Romans Road. And if you're not familiar with it, then you will be before this message is over with. Now, for the record, every time that I lead a person to the Lord Jesus Christ, I take them through the scriptures in Romans here. So that allows God's word to speak to that person, allows God's word to do the talking, so that that person has a clear understanding of what God says about salvation. They have a clear understanding of what it means to be saved and why they need to be saved. But what I should do is I should do this from behind the pulpit more often. Most of you here are Christians, okay? I understand that. That's the reason you're in church this morning, is because you're already a Christian. Many of you at home, you're watching this morning because worship is important to you, and learning of God's word is important to you because you're already Christians. So this is not necessarily something that you need to hear in the way of salvation, because you already have salvation. But here's the way this could benefit what I'm about to do and share with you, how this can benefit you that are already Christians. You may want to take notes, or you maybe just want to push record, the record button in your mind. But making this become clear to you might allow you to help somebody in the future come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be your children someday. It may be your grandchildren. It may be a family member. It may simply be a friend or an acquaintance that you've been telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the case is, this is a simple plan of salvation as we go through Romans that you can use to do the most rewarding thing known to a Christian, and that's lead another person to the Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond that, okay, I want you to listen, especially you guys right over here, all you young guys, but everybody. I want you to listen. If you have not yet come to Christ, you've not yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't yet have salvation, you are apart from God. Understand that. Just like all of us that are saved, we're one time apart from God. This is going to provide for you. What I'm doing this morning, if you're sitting in your living room at home, you may have your children sitting with you. I'm going to provide with you for you an opportunity to understand why you need salvation. And to understand how to lay hold of that salvation. So we're going to begin in Romans chapter 3. And we're going to begin in verse 23. We call this Romans Road because all of the verses are going to come out of Romans. Notice verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what this verse is telling us? The fact is that God is perfectly righteous. He's without flaw. He's holy. He's a pristine God. He can't have sin in His presence because He's perfect. And we are sinners. You are, I am, everyone is. It doesn't matter how bad a sinner you are. That's not the issue. You are just a sinner. It's some people are more sinners than other people. Some are less sinners than other people. But that doesn't matter. What the verse says is, for all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's no measuring stick that is held up to your life or my life that's going to determine our degree of sin to see whether we've crossed the line or not. We've already crossed the line. Every person has crossed the line. If you've committed one sin, and we all have, then you are a sinner and you've fallen short of the glory of God. That is our problem, folks, is we're sinners. If we didn't sin, we wouldn't have a problem. We wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need to be at church today. We wouldn't need to read our Bibles or learn from the Bible. We'd just be fine because we wouldn't be sinners. But we are sinners, and that's our problem. And why is that such a big problem? Because it has a consequence. I want you to turn across the page to chapter 6. A couple of pages to your right. Now we're going to take this verse in verse 23 in two parts. The first part of the verse says, for the wages of sin is death. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We know that. We all agree on that. Okay. What's the wages of that? What's the result of that? What's the consequence of that? Death. Simply put, this is telling us because we are sinners and we're apart from God means we're dead spiritually because of those sins. We don't know God. We're separated from God. We're alienated from God. We don't have Him in our life. And if we are separated from God and don't have Him in our life, that means if we die right now, we would go into eternity without God. Because here's the deal. Where death finds us, eternity's going to leave us. There's no change in it after we leave this world. That's bad news, friends, altogether. Our sins have us in a state of eternal death. But here's what I love about Romans 6 and verse 23. Is it has some good news. The bad news is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is this. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, smart people who know English real well will tell you that that's a conjunction. The word but is conjunction. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Well, the conjunction's function in this verse is taking us from the bad news to the good news. The bad news is we're separated from God because of our sins. The wages of sin is death. That's bad news. The good news is there's a gift. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, this is what we started off talking about, is how to lay hold of eternal life. God has made sinful mankind a gift. He made a gift. But we have to reach out and take the gift that He has made for you and I. It's very simple. He took care of everything 2,000 years ago upon the cross. The shed blood, the atonement, and then after He was buried, the resurrection. All of those things are the things that we have to have eternal life. And it was all put together in one gift. One gift. I like to liken it to Christmas or a birthday. We wrap up gifts and we give them to one another. Put the gift under the tree. But you have to reach out and take the gift and unwrap it for it to become yours. God put the gift out there for us 2,000 years ago. He said, I've taken care of everything. All you need for eternal life, taken care of. Now it's up to you whether you want to make that gift your own. It's up to you whether you want to lay hold of it, like Paul tells Timothy. It's been available for the taking all these years. The question is, have you taken it? Have you taken it? Any person of any age, of any generation, since Jesus came, has the opportunity to reach out and take this gift for themselves. But they also have the option of rejecting it. Every person has to make that choice. The sad thing is some do. Some reject it. They're sinners, whether they believe it or not. They are spiritually dead, whether they believe it or not. And consequently, because of their refusal to reach out and take this gift, they're going to go into eternity, many have already, and be eternally separated from God. Again, the Bible calls that hell. You say, Brother Chris, I don't want that to happen. I don't want it to happen for you either. I didn't want it to happen for me. That's why three decades ago, I reached out and took the gift. I wasn't smart. I didn't understand a whole lot. I just understood this because a preacher helped me understand it, like I'm trying to help you understand today. I understood I was a sinner that kept me separated from God. And I understood those had to be forgiven, and the only way for them to be forgiven was for me to accept Jesus Christ, and I reached out and I took that gift. And I've had eternal life ever since. Ever since. My eternal life began 3 decades ago. So you say, well, what do I need to do? You say, well, I understand. I'm separated from God. The wages of sin in my life are death. I don't want this. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the good thing about the book of Romans, it not only tells us about the gift of salvation that God has given, but it tells us how to reach out and take it. I want you to turn over to chapter 10 of Romans. Chapter 10 of Romans in verse 9. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know what it starts with? Believing the right things. We have to believe the right things. It's not enough to just believe that, hey, Jesus existed. Everybody knows that. He's a historical figure that even extra-biblical history records that he was a real person. He was really here. And so there's no denying that. But it has to be go beyond that. We have to see him for what he really is and what he really was and what he really did while he was here. And that word says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that simply means to acknowledge. Acknowledge that, yes, he was in fact the Son of God. It says here that it says Lord Jesus Christ. A Lord meaning it's speaking of his authority, his deity, his being the Son of God. It says that we have confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that he hath been raised from the dead. Well, if he had to be raised from the dead, that means he had to first die. We have to believe and understand that Jesus' death upon the cross was for us to have our sins forgiven and atoned for. So you believe that he's the Son of God. You believe that he died on the cross for our sins. You believe that he rose from the grave on the third day, securing eternity, not just for himself, but for every person who would ever believe in him. So you believe all the right things, but it doesn't stop there. There's one more step. I want you to notice verse 13. Verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here is the point, friends, where you as an individual can reach out and take God's gift of salvation. Is by praying a prayer and saying, essentially confessing to God that you're a sinner and you know you need him, and acknowledging to God that you understand the only way for that to happen is for you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do this different, and I don't often do this, but I want to help anybody that's sitting at home or anybody that's sitting in the pew right here to pray this prayer. Most of you are already saved, so you understand what's taking place here. I'm providing opportunity for any person that is not saved to pray this prayer. It's not about exactly how the words go, and just because Brother Chris is giving you the prayer doesn't mean that that's the only way it can be said. As long as it acknowledges that you're a sinner, as long as it invites Jesus into your heart, as long as it tells God you know you need His Son Jesus to be in a relationship with it, then the prayer's fine. But here's how this prayer can be said. I've done it with a jillion people over the years. It's my great privilege to do it one more time. And maybe there's somebody there that needs to accept Jesus. Maybe it's one of you guys. The prayer goes like this. Why don't everybody bow their head? So just out of respect for anybody else that might be praying this prayer. The prayer would go like this. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I can't change that. But I understand that you died on the cross for my sins. I understand that you rose again on the third day so that I could have eternal life. So, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior and forgive me of my sins and give me the life eternal that you have to offer. Lord Jesus, thank you for doing this. Amen. You say, that's it? That's it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does God lie? Does God lie? Does anybody know of any God ever telling a lie? No. God doesn't lie. And He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did the person that just prayed that prayer called upon the name of the Lord? They acknowledged that Jesus is Lord and Savior and that He can save them from their sins. They did their part. So what's God going to do? He's going to do His part. He's going to save you. And He did so. And you can bank on that and you can understand that. So what you've done is you just reached out and you took the gift that God has given. You took it for you personally. Now, my number is, and I want you to take note of this if you're at home or wherever, my telephone number is this, 806-781-3976. I don't want you to call me up or text me so I can twist your arm and get you to do this, that, or the other. I just would like to know that if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, I can rejoice in that and I could offer my hand of help as a pastor to you at any time from this point forward. 806-781-3976. Just text me and say, I accepted the Lord Jesus today. Give me your name. That's all I'm asking. If you're here in this auditorium and you did that, you prayed that prayer, then I need you to come up to me after the service. You can come when we have the altar call, or you can wait till after the service. I need you to come up to me and say, Brother Chris, I prayed that prayer. Now, you have eternal life. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. Eternal life just began for you. You don't have to wait till you die. Eternal life just began right now when you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You stepped into the eternal realm. New life has just begun for you. And let me tell you this, it's a life that is far superior to any life that you've ever led thus far. It pales, the life that you live now pales in comparison to the life that's available to you right now because you know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It transcends anything that's temporal. Anything that you see and that you can touch doesn't compare to the invisible realm of God, the eternal realm that you now serve the Lord in. I'll tell you this, you have new eyes. Eyes that can search and find the things of God and see them. You couldn't see them before. You have new ears. Ears that are capable of hearing the voice of God. You have new hands. Hands that can reach out and God will touch them. You have new taste. Taste that the Bible says that you can taste the goodness of God from here forth. You have new companions. Here's the most important companion that you have. You walk with Jesus every day from now here on out. He's never gone. He never abandoned you. He never leaves. You walk with Jesus. That's your new companion. You know what? In this eternal life that you now have, in this realm that you're now walking in, you have new companions in the family of God. I'm your friend now. I was your friend before, of course, but now on a spiritual level, we're brothers and sisters. We're companions. The family of God is your family. This family is your family. Every family of God across the land that's gathered this morning is your family. You've become a part of that family. You know what? You have a new home. You know what that new home is? The house of God. It's a place where you can feel comfortable because the people that are in that house of God with you believe the same way you do and have the same God that you do, have the same Savior that you do, and have the same destination that you do, which is heaven. You have a new home. You will feel comfortable there because the people in the house of God are like-minded. Now, having said that, congratulations if you're a new Christian. Welcome to eternal life. But let me just finish with saying this to those of you, including myself, that already had eternal life, that already knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm fearful of. I think sometimes we don't want eternal life here and now. That's a little too much for us. We really want it to be there awaiting us when we die and then usher us into heaven. We want it to be there to take us into God's realm where we can live forever and ever and ever with God and everything will be great. We want it then, but we don't particularly want it right now because right now eternal life would make some demands upon us. And folks, that's not the way. We don't get to pick when eternal life begins for us. It begins the moment we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I say that to say this. If we're saved this morning, we should start living eternally. We should start investing in the things that are eternal. And we should start getting away from the things that would hinder our walk with God and our eternal life. There are two things in this room, friends, that are going to last forever. You and the Word of God. You see, you're a living soul. The living soul will last forever somewhere, okay? You've just secured it through the Lord Jesus Christ, and so it's going to last forever with God. In this book, the Bible says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever. This book will last forever. So doesn't it stand to reason? As eternal beings that have eternal life right now, right here, right now, that we would start to invest in eternal things? That there would be less world in our life and more heaven? There would be less talk and more prayer? There would be less television and more Bible sometimes? That there would be less sleeping in and more church? That there would be less taking and more giving? Obviously, that there would be less sin and more righteousness. If we have eternal life before us right now, friends, it's ours. We've already obtained it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we ought to start living eternally. I'm going to ask you to stand as Brother David and our ladies come to play the music for the altar call. Again, if you're at home and you've prayed that prayer, please get in contact with me. If you say, well, I didn't pray the prayer, I need more answers. You got the phone number, call me. I'll open the Bible and give you any answer that I can help you with. But if you're here in this auditorium, maybe it's one of the young people, maybe it's anybody of any age, and you say, I prayed that prayer this morning, Brother Chris. I really did, and I meant it in my heart. Then I'm going to be standing right up here. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to put you on, embarrass you or anything. I would just like for you to come tell me, hey, I've been saved. I've been saved. And if that's the case, then we'll go forth from there. There's a lot follows that. It's baptism and these sort of things. We'll talk about that later. So heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If God's spoken to your heart, you come. If you just want to come pray at this altar, you're saved, you're a Christian, you're born again, you know that, you just want to pray at the altar, then you come as well. God's spoken to you. You come.